This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
FIG Ministry presents the Catholic Influencers Podcast. Join me, Alyssa Aegis, and my co-hosts,
Father Rob Gallia
and Justine Cumbo,
as we break open the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and discuss relevant topics and life issues from a Catholic perspective. For a shorter, more reflective explanation of the Gospels, be sure to check out our sister podcast, Catholic Influencers, Father Rob Gallia Homilies.
Why, hello there. Welcome to episode number 3. It's so good to be here with you today.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, how are you going?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I am. Yeah, I'm going to get in one of those laughing fits. So I need to keep a bit serious today. I think it could be part exhaustion, but it could be part, I have giggles.
He's got the giggles.
He's hungry.
We're overheating in this warehouse. Anything could happen. Yeah, we're just a sight for sore eyes today.
You know, we were going to rent some air conditioners to arrive today, but me and my stubbornness, I said, nah, it's like 21, 22 degrees. We don't need it. Now I'm kind of thinking we could have got
that. I'm happy to take the blame for this one because you asked me and I said no.
Oh, anyway.
We'll talk about this after. Money.
Sorry, Jack. You can blame me. No. See, just taking the blame. That's good.
We'll put the fan on in between. But it's, and even our computers were overheating. So we're filming some of this and the camera gear got overheated. And so
canceled. Look, I'll take it for the season of summer. I'll have it any day.
We'll have ice packs next time. You know?
Yeah.
But it's good. What's your favorite season? Do you like summer, winter? What do you prefer? The cold, the heat?
I live for summer. I don't care what anyone else says. Anyone else who says, oh, Melbourne's so great, I wish we could have winter forever, please leave. Because, yeah, I just love summer. I love beach trips. I love tanning. I love road trips. We have daylight savings, that weird thing in Australia called daylight savings.
Well, where I think all of Europe has it. Yeah. It's just, doesn't America have daylight savings? I think
Let us know in the comments below.
America, at least most of America does.
Anyways, I live for it. It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I would agree with you. I love summer so much. I'm a bit of a winter denier.
Yeah.
Like so even in winter, I refuse to dress for winter. And so I could be freezing and you could visibly see that I'm cold, but I will still think it's summer and like you'd be in a t-shirt.
And then unless you're in the warehouse, then you have blankets and everything
else. Actually,
in this
the last winter that we had was very cold, hence why I hate it. So summer all the way.
Yes.
It's just more motivating. You wake up in the morning in the sun and it's like, yes, I'm going to go out and do stuff.
Absolutely. Yes. I wake up early. I can train better. I can pray better. Everything's better in summer for me. And I love the ocean as well, like brought up on the ocean. So all my summer memories are just spent on the ocean. Like, and I mean, not on the ocean, by the beach, like in the open ocean.
Wow.
And so just sailing to Greece and Tunisia and all of these places.
Living your best life.
Or in summer, we can still enjoy it. It's
still a little while. I'm serving in the only landlocked diocese in Victoria. Literally no
Just
ocean.
Get a baby pool and put it in your backyard.
Well, I have one.
Yeah, I used it once. The open oceans. Just picture the open ocean to Tunisia while you're in the baby pool in your backyard in Bendigo.
Yes. Okay. So let's listen to our sponsor today.
Encounter by FRG Ministry presents our online subscription package. As a member, you will receive digital on-demand access to Encounter's growing library of online courses. Encounter and Encounter Youth online courses cover teaching, devotional, and practical elements of the Catholic faith to help individuals, teachers, students, and parishes across the world grow in their faith and understanding of the Catholic Church and their relationship with Jesus Christ. Current titles include Knowing Mary, School of Prayer, Introduction to the Bible, The Mass, and more, with new courses being added regularly. All Encounter courses include high-definition videos with expert and engaging speakers, testimonies from everyday Catholics, and downloadable content including interactive PDF guides, prayer cards, and wallpapers. These courses are also accredited for professional development for Catholic education staff in Australia. All Encounter Youth courses include teaching videos, interactive student and teacher PDFs with lesson plans, and guided prayer and reflection. For more information about enrollment and subscription options, head to www.encountercourses.com/subscription. Be sure to follow us on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter @EncounterCourses.
As we begin to dig deeper into the Word of God, the scripture readings, we go to the Gospel of this week. And it's a long Gospel. It's a little bit of a long Gospel. We debated whether to keep it or whether to shorten it. But we want you to listen to all of the Gospel, because I know some of you go to Mass and you're distracted. There's a lot going on at Mass, and sometimes we lose attention. So I encourage you just to stop, to put down the things you're doing. If you're driving, listen, pay attention. And just listen to the Word of God. The scripture often, it says that no word of God will be wasted if we listen with an open heart. So let's just pray for an open heart to listen to God's Word today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence and your love. We thank you for your spoken word, the Logos, become life for us. Open our hearts as we listen, meditate, contemplate on your word. Let us learn what you have to say, and Lord, teach us to let this seed rest in our hearts that it may grow. A love for you, a love for others, and most of all, Lord Jesus, a generous heart to live as you have called us to live, knowing and loving you. Amen.
So this is a reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus came to the Samaritan town called Sychar, near the land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well is there, and Jesus, tired by the journey, sat straight down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "What? You are a Jew and you ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" Jews, in fact, do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus replied, "If only you knew what God is offering and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have been the one to ask, and he would have given you living water." "You have no bucket, sir," she answered, "and the well is deep. How could you get this living water? Are you a greater man than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself with his sons and his cattle?" Jesus replied, "Whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again. But anyone who drinks the water that I shall give will never be thirsty again. The water that I shall give will turn into a spring inside him, welling up to eternal life." "Sir," said the woman, "give me some of that water, so that I may never get thirsty and never have to come here again to draw water." "I see you are a prophet, sir. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, while you say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation comes from the Jews. The hour will come, in fact, it is here already, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That is the kind of worshipper the Father wants. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah, that is, Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us everything." "I who am speaking to you," said Jesus, "I am he." Many Samaritans of that town had believed in him on the strength of the woman's testimony when she said, "He told me all I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came up to him, they begged him to stay with them. He stayed for 2 days, and when he spoke to them, many more came to believe. And they said to the woman, "Now we no longer believe because of what you told us. We have heard him ourselves, and we know that he really is the Savior of the world."
There is so much to unpack in that gospel.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful gospel, and I can't wait to get stuck into all of this during this episode. But
even as she was reading it, I'm thinking of new points.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thanks, Justine, for reading that very long gospel for us.
No worries. I feel like I really got in the zone.
I was kind of in this trance, and when it ended, I was like, oh, it's ended and it's time to speak.
I'm thinking we should have a nap with like scripture meditations.
I heard you say is, I think we should have a nap.
That's what I was like, oh, now? Really?
An app?
That's what I heard too. Oh my gosh. Maybe let's talk a little bit about some context here. This encounter between Jesus and this woman at the well, this Samaritan woman, really went against the cultural norms of the time. And we hear a little bit about this in this gospel reading, but let's unpack it a little more. So the Samaritan woman came to draw water in the middle of the day, the sixth hour we heard. It's the hottest time of the day.
That's 12 p.m.
Midday.
Yeah. So yep. They count from 6 a.m. Just giving some information.
Yeah. I always get all right, this
I'm
maps.
Terrified to interrupt. The look I got.
No, please, okay.
The laser beam was shot right at you.
Whoa. No, because just focusing it. The laser, laser focus.
Gosh, I thought
every episode.
You know, I thought I said it, and then I thought you repeated it. Anyway, all good. Okay, so because she's coming at this weird time of the day, because normally you would go in the morning or you'd go in the evening because to avoid that intense heat, we can kind of gather that she has something to hide. And usually women would go together to the well to draw water, but she's gone alone. So that's the first thing that's kind of, you know, against the cultural norm. She's gone in the middle of the day, midday.
Yeah.
The second sixth thing, hour. The second thing is that men didn't address women who weren't family members in a one-on-one conversation in those days. And what does Jesus do? He's a man. He's speaking alone with this woman. So again, that's the second thing that's against the cultural norm of the day.
And they still do it. Orthodox Jews still do that. I was watching. Really? There's an episode on Netflix about Orthodox Jews, and there was a wedding, and there was a. On the wedding day, the bride left the groom and went to dance with the brother and the father, and she was the only woman in the men's section because the only immediate family could dance with. So they still
interesting.
Have
that, yeah. And the third point is Samaritans didn't associate with the Jews. And why was this? Why were they not associating with each other? It's because they were in opposition to each other about the place of worship. And we hear the Samaritan woman talk about this as well. The Jews believed you should worship God at the Jerusalem temple, and the Samaritans believed that God should be worshipped on Mount, tell me the word. This is when you can jump in.
Sitcha? No.
Gerizim?
Gerizim.
Gerizim.
Yeah, so get some G's a G in Israel. And even as well coming to this, There's a fourth thing as well, is that a rabbi would never talk to a sinner, a non-sinner anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's like the breaking of all these cultural norms.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy moment happening there. Just scandalous. Mm. Can you believe it?
But the motive here was that Jesus was after her heart. Not only was he after her heart, he was after the heart of the Samaritan people as well, which we'll go into. And the other cool thing about this as well is that Jesus was on his way from Galilee to Jerusalem, and going this way was really out of the way.
Yes.
But he knew he had to get these people's hearts.
And I think another thing to notice is that the Jews considered the Samaritans, even though they considered themselves as faithful, they were pagans in the eyes of the Jews. Mm-hmm. So he was going through pagan land, and that's why he didn't want to go through the town, because he would be defiled, because it was going to be going through pagan territory. Mm-hmm. So... yes, it was a religious aspect of it, but there was also the hostility of that the two communities had against each other. So social and religious. Sheesh.
Sheesh.
Sheesh kebab. Okay. So these are the things as well, coming to this place. This is the aspect of Jesus, you know, that he broke these cultural norms. But one of the things that struck me about the scriptures, all is coming back to this humanity of Jesus. He was tired, he was exhausted, it was hot, he was complaining, he was physically exhausted. But the apostles maybe were younger than him. I don't know, I don't think they were fitter than him, but I think he came to this place where he's saying, while the others say, hey, I'm hungry, so they went on their Macca's run, and he just said, hey, I'm going to stay here, I'm just going to relax. And I'm going to stay at this well. And it was because he decided to stop to stay that he had this encounter, this one-on-one. Sometimes we're so busy looking after ourselves, we're so busy doing the things that we need to do, that we don't actually stop and sit with people and listen to people, listen to the hearts of people.
The line that really sort of got me is kind of basically when she walks away from Jesus, and her first testimony to the rest of the Samaritans wasn't like, I've met the Messiah. You know, that wasn't the first word. It's, I've met a man and he told me everything about me, which basically means my sin. And it's like, you know, it's not the first thing that I'd be inclined to share. Mm. You know, it's feels a bit counterintuitive, but why is this? Like, why is this just the most profound life-altering moment for her that Jesus told her her sin and that's what changed her? And it's because everyone knew her sin and judged her.
Mm-hmm.
That was her only experience that she'd ever experienced, was the judgment and shame of other people. And Jesus was the first one who's more interested in her future than her past.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first one to sit with her, to challenge her, to talk to her in his perfect love, his presence of love and acceptance, that actually changed her. You know, our judgment of people is not what's going to change them.
Mm-hmm.
It's our loving acceptance of where they are and a reminder of what they're called to that's going to change her. And he wanted to satisfy her thirst more than he wanted to judge her history. He could see beyond her past, and what he saw, this woman is dying of thirst, not just physically, but spiritually. A woman who's thirsting to be loved. She's thirsting to be seen, to be accepted, to be included, to be forgiven, to be known. That's what changes her. And that's why she runs back. And the first thing she says is, he knows everything about me. And yet she's changed. And just reminds me of my dad. I often talk about my dad, and I've probably quoted him, but he always says to us, you cannot judge. Like, whenever we, not that we gossip, but he's just always reminding us, you can't judge a person's story. Mm-hmm. That's actually, his judgment was not going to change her. No one else's judgment ever changed her. What was it that changed her? His loving acceptance.
Mm-hmm. A beautiful sympathy of Jesus. And what was it about Jesus? And I think about this, like, that melted her heart so straight away that she was able to sit to listen, you know? Because sometimes if she's been judged and hurt so much, the first reaction would be just like, whatever, to brush him off, as she would, because its probability was that she was going to get hurt again.
She's protecting herself. Yes,
but she didn't with Jesus. Somehow something happened that melted her heart, that sort of, it seemed like talking to Jesus was the most natural thing in the world. And it was in this place that Jesus met her and listened to her heart. And in listening to her heart, she encountered him in three ways, as you said. The first way, she encountered his humanity. She encountered his tiredness. She saw him tired and sweaty. She saw him as a human being that needed water. He asked her for water. So that's the first encounter. And very often we expect people to encounter Jesus through these extraordinary moments, and God does win hearts of people through the supernatural, but very often it's through our humanity that people encounter the love and acceptance of Jesus. So that's number one. Number two is the prophet. Again, scripture, the word transcendent, coming to the deity of God. She recognized him as a prophet, someone who knew something more than other humans knew the heart of God. What is a prophet? A prophet is the mouthpiece of God. So he saw things from a perspective that, where the perspective of God, that he could speak into her life. So the humanity, then he spoke through the mouth of God, the divinity, and he impacted her heart. And then what does he say? And then she comes to this place where she says, you are the Messiah. Not only are you the mouthpiece of God, but you are God. You are God. And that, all of a sudden, she has this encounter. She lets Jesus basically into her heart, and she is changed forever. But that change doesn't stay there. She wants to tell the world about it.
So amazing. Yeah.
Awesome. I want to talk about this concept of thirst. There's so many ways we can look at this in this scripture. Jesus' thirst for us, our thirst for him. It starts off with Jesus simply thirsty for a drink. He's asking for a drink, but really he's thirsting more for the Samaritan woman's commitment to him. And I'm instantly thinking of one of Jesus' final words on the cross, I thirst. And even if we can take this further, I know Mother Teresa with the Missionaries of Charity, on their wall in their chapel, they've got the words, I thirst, because it's their mission to quench Jesus' thirst for souls. So we can see here that Jesus thirsts for us and wants us to thirst for him. And we know that as humans, we have this space. What's that? It's that God-shaped hole in our hearts. And we try and fill that with so many things. What are we trying to quench our thirst with? Is it relationships? For this woman, in fact, if you look at the longer gospel of this week, she, in fact, had five husbands. So she was trying to quench this thirst in relationships, in other men.
what else could it be? It could be sports in looking for fame. There's so many things that we can do to try and quench our thirst. But really, at the end of the day, there's only one thing that's going to satisfy us, and that's Jesus. And we can even, we hear from St. Augustine, our hearts are restless until they rest in Jesus. And he even goes further in this reading as well, talking about this physical water that's going to run out and leave us thirsty again. This physical water representing all these things we try and quench our thirst with. But he's talking about spiritual water that only he can give.
Yeah.
And there are people as well, like even listening to us at this moment, who are frustrated, you know, anxious because you've tried, you're frustrated, you're lost and you're confused maybe. And you've been trying so hard to reach out to God, and you've been trying so hard to find the peace that maybe you had years ago, or the peace that you see other people having and you don't have it. And this is the human reality. The human reality is that our hearts are thirsting. They're thirsting for God. And very often we're restless, as St. Augustine says, because we don't know how to find God. We don't know how to stop and receive God. But this is the thing. It's not about us pursuing God, but it's about stopping and letting God pursue you, let him catch you, let him embrace you. And so I just even invite you as listeners just to invite Jesus into your heart, even wherever you're sitting, you're driving, you're praying. And just say this, just say, Jesus, capture my heart. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for peace. I'm thirsty for you. Lord, get rid of the things that seem to be taking the place, your place in my heart and in my life. But instead, just give me you. Give me your peace. Give me your presence again. I need you. I long for you. And I thirst for you as this Samaritan woman. And I know, Lord, that as you've given this woman at the well, this grace to know you, I too at this very well, this thirsting for you, I expect and know that you're going to meet me here. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I accept you as my Lord, my Messiah, my Savior. Amen. So again, it's about looking inside and letting God in.
I think it's a really good question. A healthy question to ask, you know, what are the wells that we go to? You know? And sometimes that'll be a harder question to answer in your life than others, but it's such a good one. And just that reminder, go back to Jesus. We're actually looking for Jesus in every other well.
Yes.
He's not there, but we know where to find him.
And like you're saying, like what well? And seriously, ask yourself this question. I ask myself this question even right here. Now, what well am I standing in front of? Am I standing in front of my well of addiction? Am I standing in front of the well of fame and the thirst for fame? Or am I thinking, looking down this well and thinking this gossip and revenge is going to give me satisfaction? No, no. Stop looking down the well and look right up. Look straight there. Yeah. There's your answer. Jesus is looking you in the face and wants to welcome you and give you the peace that you need.
Yeah.
And so let's listen to a word from our wonderful sponsors.
Pray with the Gospel readings every day of the year with Sacred Space, the Prayer Book 2023. The text of each day's Gospel passage is included, along with points of reflection and a prayer theme for the entire week. Put together by the Irish Jesuits, Sacred Space, the Prayer Book, is a wonderful way to immerse yourself in prayer using the principles of Ignatian contemplation. Find Sacred Space, the Prayer Book 2023 at loyolapress.com or wherever you buy your Catholic books.
So today's reality check is all about getting off the bench. Three ways we're going to make it very practical how you can get off the bench. But what do I mean by getting off the bench? This encounter between Jesus and the woman at the well, they were likely sitting on a bench. They had this encounter, and what did she do? She left her jar at the well and she went straight away to tell other people about the encounter that she had with Jesus, and so many other people were brought into an encounter with Jesus because of her testimony. So three ways to get off the bench and bring Jesus to others is what we're going to talk about today. And feel free to chime in whenever you like, guys.
Don't you worry, Father Rob will.
This is when you can actually jump in.
But I love this, even the way you're placing it. It's like this woman was at church. She was with Jesus. But she left church to go into the world to tell the world about Jesus. Amen. Get off the bench. Let's see how we can do this.
Number one, look for opportunities to serve others. When you put others' needs before your own, you actually demonstrate God's love and compassion to them in this way. How can we do that? We can volunteer with a charity. You can love your neighbor at the shops, help someone out at the cash register. If you're a gym goer, I know there might be someone in this room who does. Maybe
Put
the weights. Stop looking at me, Alyssa.
Everyone except one of our sound guys, our head of production. We invite him to the gym, but he doesn't come. But anyway.
If you see the weights on the floor, pick them up. Yeah. And ever since you've said that, I go to the gym and I see the weights everywhere and I'm like, far out. Okay, I have to pick them up. Do this now. And if you're unsure about, like, where am I going to find opportunities to do this, maybe pray about it. I mean, if you pray and say, God, give me the opportunity to serve someone else and put someone else's needs before my own, don't worry. God's going to answer that prayer and you will be shown so many different ways you can do this. Number one, serve others. Number two, work on your skills, work on growing spiritually yourself outside of church. Yes, we go to church, but also set goals and create a plan, an action plan as to how you can grow spiritually and follow through with those goals. Those goals might be studying the Bible in more detail, scheduling time to pray and read, having accountability with others so you can actually achieve those goals. The more that you get to know Jesus through his word and through all of these things, the more you will become like him and the more you'll naturally want to bring other people to him. And that'll just happen without you even thinking about it.
Yes, and that's very often requires a routine. Like, what are you doing in your routine of prayer, your discipline of prayer every day? And whether it's the rosary and meditation on the word of God, whether it's praying, just make sure you have a discipline of prayer, because you cannot give what you do not have. Okay, so if it's about, again, really relationship. Relationship doesn't only happen when once a week or once a month. A real relationship needs to be ongoing.
Absolutely. And number three, be a team player. Find others who you can run this race with, play the game with, a supportive community. But in that, know that you've got specific gifts and other people have different gifts to you. So be humble about the gifts that you've got. Encourage other people in their gifts. Let them shine. And strive for unity among the body of Christ with all those who you choose to run the race with.
Yes.
And again, if you don't have those people, pray for it. It's one of the best prayers you can pray, and the blessings that come out of a supportive community around you are just incredible.
And wherever your community is, your sports community, bring Jesus to that community.
Yes.
You see how a Christian community sometimes becomes a Christian community because there's a Christian there that decides to bring Jesus to the community.
Also, though, I think sometimes our parishes are not all playing on the same team. You know, sometimes our parishes can be really divided. Be that one that advocates for team. Be that one that, you know, supports the lady on that particular ministry who is not entirely playing for the team, but, you know, teach her by the way you love, teach her by the way you respond to her. So not even just out there somewhere, but sometimes our Catholic parishes are the best place to start changing by the way we live and love.
Yeah. I'm sure you can think of some other ways, but we encourage you this week to think of some ways that how you can start to
get off the bench.
Move over.
Get uncomfortable. Yeah. Amen.
Love it.
Thank you for seeking the Lord with us today. If you long for more content and resources, check out our church online. FRG Ministries Church Online is where you will find ongoing spiritual nourishment and inspiration. Online Mass, prayer, rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, worship music, Eucharistic adoration, and so much more. You can even submit your prayer requests and commit to pray for others. FRG Ministry Church Online will inspire and deepen your love and understanding of Christ and His Church. Be blessed by FRG Ministries Church Online at frgministry.com/churchonline.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode 3 of the Catholic Influences podcast. We hope you got something out of it. We hope you were inspired. We sure are inspired. It's the best sitting at this table with these guys.
Yes.
Always challenging me. It's very good.
Inspired and sweaty.
That's right. My makeup dripping.
Make sure you keep in touch with us. Social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those links can be found at our website, CatholicInfluencersPodcast.com, YouTube.com if you want to see those sweaty makeup faces.
Yes.
YouTube.com/FIG Ministry. We can't wait to join you again next week as we continue breaking open our Lenten Sunday Gospels.
Yes, and we encourage you also, if you're able to support this ministry, go to frgministry.com/donate. We'll see you again next week. God bless.
Ciao.
Arrivederci. Bye-bye.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.